Hey, everybody, welcome back to Intimidation Crusher. I'm Kelly McCauzy. This is session 2 of 3. And in session 1, we talked about how intimidation is always an inside job. Certainly we can be physically intimidated by another person. But we're talking about intimidation in our business, and unless you've got a mobster physically intimidating you, you're probably experiencing mental and emotional intimidation, and it's an inside job. You might point outward and say, "That person intimidates me." But mostly, it's still an inside job because the feeling of intimidation you have is based on how you interpret that person. Does that make sense to everybody? So I want to revisit these words from yesterday. And I fixed my typo. I can't believe nobody hollered at me about my missing letter yesterday. Anytime we face a situation that's feels intimidating, feels confronting, feels scary, feels overwhelming, we have a choice in how we respond to the situation. We can be intimidated by it, or we can feel invited by it. If you're facing a situation, let's say you have, how many of you would love to be invited to speak at an event? Cindy Bedar, you're speaking at Exposure and Profit in what, 16 days? And you're going to be speaking to a room of approximately 57 human beings. Do you feel some excitement / intimidation about the experience of coming to speak?
Not really intimidated, no. It's not my first speaking gig. I've been on bigger stages. Mm. I get a little nervous, maybe, you know? Like, I mean, I have the nightmare where I wake up on the day of the event and I haven't written my talk yet.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'm intimidated.
So you look at the possibility and you feel more of an invitation than an intimidation.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Is there anybody here, if you were in Cindy's shoes and you were coming to speak at Exposure and Profit, 57 human beings, including some pretty amazing marketers, experts, people whose expertise is public speaking, are going to be there?
Are you trying to make me feel intimidated?
It's interesting though, if I am speaking to a group of people and I don't know anything about them at all, I've just been invited to come speak and I'm speaking on something that it's my sweet spot, it's my area of expertise, I feel very little sense of intimidation. I feel a sense of invitation and excitement. But yeah, if you were to sit down and tell me, those three people are professional public speakers. That person teaches public speaking and communication. That person is also an expert in that same field. I am going to start to interpret the opportunity a little differently. I'm going to start intimidating myself. It's It's all an inside job. It's all that voice of the trickster saying, that person knows more about this than I do. That person's going to be judging me. Those three people are going to think I'm a terrible public speaker. That person's probably going to come up to me later and tell me what I did wrong. Ah! And I let trickster, let the voice of ego take the invitation and turn it into intimidation. It's an inside job. I want to visit back to just to refresh, and for the sake of those who haven't had a chance to watch the first session yet, when I talk about ego and the voice of trickster, I'm referring to that there is a difference between responding in ego and responding in essence. Ego is that thinking, calculating, filtering, self-protective inner voice, what we call the trickster. Essence, on the other hand, is that open, creative, flowing us. Think about watching a couple of two-year-olds playing. They're so innocent and creative, and they just chase the good feeling. They just try things out without any rules or expectations or sense of intimidation. We, even though we're all grown up, can actually still tap into that essence, that creative flow. Believe it or not. So when we look at these words, intimidate, intimidation, intimidating, if we're feeling intimidated, we're in ego. We're letting trickster thoughts run the show. If we look at the same situation with a sense of being invited, then we're leaning more into essence. And that's what we want. We want to respond to the situations in our life and in our business, the opportunities. We want to respond to them in a beautiful blend of ego and essence, because we want ego to do the math, keep the calendar, learn the tech, but we want essence to decide how it's expressed and how it flows, and define the creative implementation. Would you agree you really want both? I have a tendency, because of my personality that likes to make things, you know, black and white, I have a tendency to try to make ego bad. But it isn't bad, except when it is. And if ego is self-protective, if we keep that in mind, there's aspects of ego that are really, really good. But it's when it protects us from exciting opportunities that it starts to not be so great for us anymore. So yesterday, we talked about the six areas of focus entrepreneurs can spend their time in: purpose, technology, traffic, community, making offers, and developing our mindset. I wonder, those of you who were exposed to that yesterday, did you give any thought to that today? Like, oh, I'm in the technology area of focus right now, or, oh, I'm in the making offers area of focus right now. Has anybody had an opportunity to think about that and think about where their focus is? And have they found, have you found thinking about the six areas of focus as an opportunity to be clear about what you're doing and what you're not doing right now? I thought about it a lot today, as a matter of fact. So Dominique says you spent time in the building community. Good. Awesome. So yesterday we introduced the six areas of focus, and the point of that is, if you're going to be successful in building a business, you've got to spend some time in each of these areas eventually. If you're not clear on your purpose, all the other areas are going to be fuzzy and difficult. And if you're not clear about your technology choices, everything else is going to be potentially difficult, et cetera. You need content to attract traffic. You need to engage with your community for it to mature. You need to have offers. We know all these things. If you know what is the natural next area of focus that you must give attention to, and yet you do not give it attention, there's something about it that's intimidating you. There's something, whether it's just a sense of overwhelm, imposter syndrome, comparisonitis, doubting your writing skills, not sure whether people will pay you, all those trickster thoughts that are running that hold you back from taking action. When you know what the areas of focus are, and you see where you're resisting action, then you can see, okay, this is where intimidation lives for me, and I want to begin to deal with that. And I begin to deal with that by being aware of what Trickster's saying about it, and shining a light on that. Today, I want to shift over. Even though intimidation is an inside job, there are people who are contributing to it from the outside. So, have you ever heard of the term border bullies before? Have you ever read the book, The Dream Giver? If you're open to a quick read, I highly, highly recommend The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. Let me just pop this over here for a second. So this is a book written as a story. So it's an allegory. And Bruce Wilkinson is a Christian author. He's whether or not you share my faith worldview, you would get so much out of this book. Because like most allegories, they're just a beautiful story. So in the book, The Dream Giver, there's a character that his name is Ordinary. And he lives in the land of Familiar. So I want to type this in here. His name is Ordinary, and he lives in the land of Familiar. If you just imagine yourself for a moment that Ordinary is you, and land of Familiar is your world, your circles of influence is the land of Familiar, your family, your friend, your connections, the people who know you and love you and want the best for you. What happens when Ordinary has a dream? When Ordinary wakes up one day with this glimmer of a beautiful dream, when essence shows up in life and plants the seed of doing something inordinary, extraordinary, awesome, never done before, at least not by anybody in the land of Familiar, right? What happens when Ordinary has a dream and decides, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to pursue my dream. What happens in your life when ordinary Bonnie has a dream and decides to pursue it? All the other people in Land of Familiar, how do they react? Are they all amazingly supportive? Do they all say, oh, Ordinary Bonnie, what a beautiful dream. You should go for it. Ordinary Gillian, what an amazing dream. You should drop everything and chase that dream right now. Is that what happens? Suzanne says, most times not. Definitely. Do they perceive your dream as an invitation? Or do they perceive your dream as being intimidating? Kit says, yeah, they're intimidated by your dream. And it's so true. So when Ordinary decides to pursue his dream and he heads off on a journey to leave Land of Familiar, he's met at the border of Familiar by border bullies. And it's his mom. It's his uncle. It's his best friend. And the term border bully, you might think, if you haven't read the book, that they're like mean and critical of him. But they're actually not. They just love him so much. They are intimidated by the opportunity of his dream. And so they point out all the possible problems. They go into that role of playing a devil's advocate. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens to you? What if you run out of money? What if you lose all your security? What are some of the things that border bullies have said to you? How many of you have pursued a dream and ran into border bullies much sooner than you would have imagined because they're your loved ones? Your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your coworkers, your friends at church. Kit says, I think our dreams scare others who didn't pursue their dreams. Yeah. Tish says, mom and stepdad have been major border bullies. Yeah. When Ordinary Tish has a glimmer of a dream and says, you know what? I think I'm going to go for it. I'm going to stop taking BS jobs that fall through and let me down. I'm going to build my own business. I'm going to create what I want in my life. All those family members and friends who are in BS jobs, they're border bullies saying, wait a second, you can't do that. That's not just done. That's not what we do. In the Land of Familiar, we go to work, dang it. Cynthia says, sometimes I think they are threatened by the changes that will take place in the relationship. Yeah. Heck yeah. It's interesting the internal intimidation that comes from ego, when the voice of the trickster runs and says, but what if you don't have a steady paycheck? But what if you don't have insurance? But what if you don't know where your next client is going to come from? But what if, but what if, but what if? Your ego means well. It's just trying to protect you. And so that internal trickster, you can say, thank you very much, trickster, for the thoughtful reminder of the risks involved. I'm going to do it anyways. Could you respond to your border bullies in the same way? Could you say, Mom, thanks for running through the potential pitfalls with me. I appreciate it. I know it's because you love me. I'm going to do it anyways. The interesting thing about border bullies is that they do mean well initially, and some of them take your determination to do it anyways better than others. Because, yeah, when you say, you know what, it is scary, it is uncertain, moving from a jobby job to an entrepreneurial gig has its perils. I'm going to do it anyways. I have this dream. I'm chasing it. Your action is intimidating to them for sure, because they have their own trickster. Their own trickster then takes your action and makes it a judgment against them. So what? Are you saying there's something wrong with working a job and having a stable life? Are you saying there's something wrong with putting food on the table for my family when you were a kid? Are you saying there's something wrong with me because I didn't chase a dream like you? They may not actually speak those words. They might. But whether they speak the words or not, trickster's running in their head, and your proactive dream chasing is internally used by trickster to beat them up and say, see, you didn't chase your dreams. Border bullies mean well, just like ego means well. Ego means to self-protect. Most of your border bullies just want to protect you, just want to keep you safe. Sometimes people are overtly negative and intentionally intimidating when you make a change. There are some real a-holes out there. I absolutely believe it. I've experienced it. There are people out there who will look at you and say, ordinary kid, who do you think you are? Who said you could do that? What makes you think you are any better than me to be able to pursue this dream? To be able to create this business, to be able to step out of this rut and do something new. There are people who are really intentional about being negative. I ran into, I won't even call her a border bully because I don't believe she had any loving thoughts towards me. But there was a gal that I had in my life for several years who it felt like at every turn she found some offhand sideways way to tell me I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I don't have the degrees that she has. I don't have the certifications that she has. I don't have the perfect life that she has. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. That when the cards were dealt out, she got the better hand. So I don't quite know what's going on over there and why you're making progress, but it shouldn't be happening and probably shouldn't be relied on. It happened enough times that I finally had enough and got the hell away from her. She was not just a border bully, because like you said, I just don't think she meant me well in any way. I think that she felt threatened and mystified that little old imperfect me was having more success in business than she was. You know, our border bullies are my stepdad, Sweet Pete, he's a border bully. He does not mean any ill will. He loves me, but he worries about me. He worries about travel. He worries about spending money on things that he can't really understand how it benefits my business. So, you know, when we talk about the stuff that I'm doing and the plans that I'm making, he always pulls out some little devil's advocate type thing to question and just make sure that I've thought of. And I know in his deepest heart of hearts, he hopes I'll say, you know what, Pete, you're right. That is scary. I'll just stay here. But I don't do that. And he loves me enough to be uncomfortable with what I'm doing and not reject me. So he says what he says. He plays his border bully role and then he lets go of it. I understand this about him. He's 78 years old. The whole idea of a modern independent woman traveling around for business is just so bizarre to him. But there are other people, perhaps in your life, who have a similar approach of questioning what you're doing and pointing out the perils. And when you don't say, you're absolutely right, I'll just stay here, they're angry with you. And they step up the intimidation. So I want to call myself out as a border bully right now, because there have been situations in my friends' lives over the years where I will say, you know, this looks like a mistake. I think this is a mistake. I don't think you should do that. I think it's full of risk. I don't think you've considered all the possibilities. And when they said, thank you, Kelly, I'm going to do it anyways, I became angry and basically said, well, if you're going to do it, don't come crying to me when it all falls apart. What an a-hole, right? But I did it. I did it a lot, actually. I still feel the urge every now and then to do that to someone, to say, that seems risky. I don't see how that can work. I can't really support that. And when they say, thank you very much, I'm going to do it anyways, then I want to say, well, then fine. Don't come crying to me. That's my base ego tendencies. It's not my essence. In that moment, I'm being a border bully and I'm being personally threatened because they're not taking my freaking advice. You know, just being honest. What's awesome for me is the perspective. The whole goal of the conversations that we're having is to shine a light on what's going on. Once you understand, I understood that I got upset because it threatened me that they didn't agree with me and take my advice. If they're not agreeing with me and taking my advice, then they must think I'm wrong. And that makes me feel bad about myself. But once you shine the light on that and say, you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's their dream. They're chasing it. that I can just let go of that and not make it a condemnation of my advice. And I can come and I can take a couple steps forward to say, I don't know if it's going to work, but I wish you well. And I'm here for you when you need something. Such different attitude. So thinking about the border bullies in your life, husband, siblings, parents, children. Some of you have grown children who are acting as border bullies. The intimidation, like, think of who has a primary border bully that they can think of right now. Like, if when I say, name your primary border bully, the person who is creating the most intimidation for you right now, who is it? Is it a parent, a spouse, a child, a coworker, a boss, a business partner, a competitor, contemporary? Tish says mom, Cindy says husband, Deanna says parents, Suzanne says sibling. That primary border bully, knowing that intimidation is an inside job, can you shift their reactions to you? Can you step out of ego that feels intimidated and find a way to shift that relationship and that whole situation and conversation into an invitation? Do you think that's possible? Tish says, can you repeat that? Yes. Thinking about your primary border bully, who right now, when you have conversations about your dreams and your goals, you feel intimidated by them. You find them and their reactions intimidating. Is there a way you could shift it into seeing these interactions as an invitation rather than an intimidation? If intimidation is an inside job, which it is, can you shift how you respond to them? Deanna, first she said, I don't think so, not the way our relationship is. Then, yeah, I can shift my response. Okay, yeah, you misunderstood the question. Yes. Tisha says, yes, I have. Tisha, how have you shifted?
Well, I don't know if you saw my comment above, but, well, Kelly, you know me really well, so you know, like, just how, like, my mom and my stepdad have been, like, all these years and stuff, but, like, my mom and I had a really honest conversation a while back, and the reason, at least my belief behind the reason that she's been the way she is because she flat out came out and admitted that she was jealous to the life that I was living. You know, she wanted to travel and do things when she was younger, but she had three kids. She was married a couple times. You know, had to work several different jobs. So she never followed her dreams. It was always about, you know, somebody else and taking care of kids. So I had thought that there was like a huge shift, like in our relationship and the dynamic between us and me following my dreams, whether it's, you know, the traveling because I can, because of my business and things like that or whatnot. But, things have gotten pretty tense again lately because I'm moving cross country at the end of next month. So, I mean, she's literally being like a border bully, like not wanting me to leave the state that I'm in right now. And, you know, the first several times, the comments and the things that she was saying really frustrated me. And I was just getting like aggravated again. I didn't want to talk to her on the phone. I didn't want to see her. And then I just realized that I had to change my perspective and the way that I was dealing with it because, you know, and then I thought if the roles were reversed, if Caleb was moving, you know, cross country, I would probably feel the same thing that my mom was feeling. So, you know, I just, she still says things and I just told her, Mom, this is the decision I've made. This is what is happening. You know, I'm moving. And you're just going to have to, you know, support that. And I don't know. I mean, things are, she still is, you know, trying to point the things out that could happen. And, you know, she's not fond of the fact that I'm making the road trip out there and just things like that. But I mean,
yeah,
it's gotten better, but she still is trying to sway my decision and hoping that I'm going to just decide, no, I'm staying here.
So she's a border bully. And when she points out, you know, her fears and concerns for you, you're saying, I hear you, Mom, I'm doing it anyways. And yep. It's making her mad.
Yep.
Mad/sad. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe not mad, but definitely sad. I mean, she's having a really hard time with it.
Mad, sad, perhaps feeling a little bit rejected, judged.
Yes.
There's, you know, Trickster gets in there and makes everything really confusing. When it comes to, we've all been in the role of being a border bully before. And when you think about, you know, that border bullies are coming from a place of ego. Where's my silly ego's thinking, calculating, filtering, self-protective. So if someone around you has a dream, think about, let's bring this back to business for sure. How many of you have a contemporary who has a business idea that they're building and you feel like a bit of a border bully in that you're worried about them. They're risking a lot. They're doing something maybe you wish you could have done, but you didn't have the guts. You know, ego is getting in there and you want to be supportive, but you've got Trickster interpreting the situation, you know, in ways that make you feel judged and weak by comparison, whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on in there. When you put yourselves in the shoes of being a border bully, then you help, you can be a little more compassionate with how your border bullies feel. Stacy says, I just take it as a challenge. You can't do that. And that just makes me want to make a bet. Yeah, like watch me. When someone says you're going to fail and you say, well, just watch me. I'm going to prove you wrong. Depending on your personality type, that might be your reaction. That tends to be my reaction. All the border bullies in my life, some of them mean well, some of them didn't. But when they would say, you can't do that, I would just get stubborn and say, want to bet? Watch me. Not always to my benefit, to be honest. Because sometimes your border bullies are really smart and have genuine concerns. That's the really, just like ego has good tendencies and bad tendencies in self-protecting, the same is true of your border bullies. You know, if your mom is telling you, I don't want you to quit your job. I'm so worried that your business won't support you in the family. You know, you can say, Mom, I hear you. Don't worry about it. I gotcha. But when your friend who works in the same industry as you says, I don't know if that business can sustain the kind of income you need. That may just be ego in service of you. Does that make sense? Border bullies are not just making up stuff all the time. Some of your border bullies really have thoughtful, strategic considerations. And so it's your job to figure out, is that a genuine concern that I should tackle before I move forward with a stream? Or is this person just worried about me and overprotecting me? It's not always easy to know the difference. I want ego in the situation, doing the math, keeping the calendar, calculating the risk, but I want essence in there too. And here's the thing about border bullies. They'd like to protect you from ever stumbling and falling. But you don't need protecting from stumbling and falling. Stumbling and falling, failing, giving something a shot and having it fall apart, that's life. That's entrepreneurship. That's being in business. You can handle it. Your border bullies will be uncomfortable watching you do that. You know, if your husband wants you to stay home, put all your money in savings, not risk anything, and you decide, no, I'm going to invest and I'm going to go for it. If you take a risk and fall, if you take a risk and the money you invested didn't bring a payoff and some time was lost, that's going to be uncomfortable for your husband to observe. It's going to be uncomfortable for you to experience. But that's life as an entrepreneur. Not everything we do works. And you can handle it. You can take your lumps, your bumps, your bruises. You can stumble. You can fail. You can get up and try again. You are an incredibly powerful person. And your border bullies will come to see that. Or they won't. We talked about trickster. I want to introduce you to the trickster's triangle. When it comes to responding to your border bullies, the voice of ego, the kind of the personification of ego, actually has three expressions. So those three expressions are villain, hero, and victim. Who's got a border bully situation right now that they'd like to share, just like a 60-second synopsis of it, having to do with business? Anybody want brave enough to share something? Totally okay if you don't want to. So let me think about a border bully situation in my world. Gosh, I don't know if I have a major border bully right now. Well, let's just make something up. So you have a dream. Let's say you have a business partnership. Up to now, everything you've been doing it with a business partner. And you want to, you've got a dream to strike out on your own for something. And so you share that dream with your business partner. You say, hey, Greta, I've got this dream. I'm so excited. I'm going to start this side gig on my own. And Greta says, what? On your own? But we're partners. You mean you're going to spend some of your time and some of your creativity on something else besides what we're doing? Wait a second. That's all ego. That's all the voice of ego. But what does it sound like? Does she sound like a hero, a villain, or a victim? Suzanne is suggesting victim. Is she coming from a, if she's coming off a little whiny, like, wait a minute, what about me? What about our business? What about my income? What about my dreams? What about our dreams? Yeah, that feels very victim-y. But when she comes from the, hey, what about our business? What about my income? Why are you so selfish? What is that? That sounds more like villain, right? What is hero? What could hero sound like? Oh, great. No problem. Hey, chase your dream. I got everything handled here. I can cover it. I can get everything done. No worries. I'll save you when you fall. Yep. Ego has these three aspects. And so it's helpful to understand when a border bully is reacting to your dream, whether it's a business partner, a spouse, a friend, a contemporary, a competitor, when they respond to you in ego, they're trending into one of these areas. So that border bully that I had, that I eventually just cut out of my life because she was always finding an offhand way to criticize me, she was all villain. Which made me feel like what? A victim. Or it made me act like a hero. The interesting thing about the trickster's triangle is that it's a dynamic that sucks you in. If your business partner responds like a victim and says, but what about our projects? But what about our dreams? What am I supposed to do when you're chasing your dreams? That gives you a couple of choices. You can go villain and say, well, I'm not responsible for you. Go get your own dream, you whiny thing. Or you can go hero and say, no problem. I can get everything done here too. No problem. The triangle, trickster's triangle, is all ego. And we introducing this in such a short period of time is a little bit frustrating because there's so much to say about it. But if you have a border bully who's responding to you in ego from a fear-based situation, they're falling into one of these situations. They're either acting the villain, acting the victim, or acting the hero. None of those positions make you feel empowered by the other person. If someone is going hero and says, no problem, ordinary Mike, chase your dream. I'll keep things covered at home. Does that make you feel empowered or does that make you feel a little babied? Just a curious question. Suzanne says, isn't there another response apart from being a villain or hero or victim? And the answer is yes. If this is ego, this is all ego. The voice of trickster is all ego, and it falls villain, victim, or hero. What would the alternative be? The contrast to ego, which is essence. You can, so I ask the question, if you have a border bully that's intimidating you, dealing with them creates a sense of intimidation that stops you from taking an action. How can you shift how you respond to the situation, how you respond to the border bully, so that you step away from the intimidation, which comes from ego, to perceiving it as an invitation, which comes from essence. When you are in ego, when you're feeling intimidated, when the situation or the person, the border bully, creates a sense of intimidation, whether they're villainous, victim, or hero, and you say, no, not this, you can completely step off of the triangle, step into essence, and say, what do I want to create here? Essence asks, what do I want to create here? What do I want to create here? I've got this border bully. I've got this person who means well or doesn't mean well, who's creating a sense of intimidation for me in ego. I'm feeling intimidated, and I'm not taking the action I want to take. I can get on the triangle. I can be a victim. I can whine about it. I can be a villain. I can bitch about it. I can go hero and make it work, but resent it. Or I can step off of the triangle, take a deep breath, put my hand on my heart, and ask, what do I want to create here? Think about that border bully. Think about that border situation you've got, that dream you want to chase in your business. Think about the area of focus that needs your time right now and what you'd like to do there. Think about the intimidation that you're experiencing. Put your hand on your heart. Take a deep breath. Move a little bit. Maybe get up out of your chair or just sway a little. Get some motion. And ask, what do I want to create here? What are the answers that anybody have an answer popping up? Is anyone doing that right now? Are you swaying with your hand on your heart? What do I want to create here? If I'm shifting from seeing this objection or situation or problem, if I'm shifting from ego that sees it all so intimidating, if I'm shifting over into essence, which sees nothing but possibility, what do I want to create here? What are you guys thinking? Excuse me. What are you guys thinking about? We're about to wrap things up. It's a little bit after 9. We're going to connect some dots tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up and stop the recording tonight.